David and those few who were loyal to him are now leaving Jerusalem. Everything's gone against him. Everything's lost. All the things that counted most for him. And his life is in danger. He's fleeing to see if he might maybe be able to save that. But that's all he's got. It's almost like the many people over time who've had to flee with only the clothes that they're wearing. It's close to that in this situation. It's not quite that bad. That he does have a refuge with him. He does have some friends. He does have some family members who stay loyal and so on. But it's comfortable to flee with just clothes on your back, as it were. And what does David do? What's he going to do? How's he going to handle himself? What does he think of himself? What does he think of God in this situation? So it's really a wonderful thing, I recommend to you, to appreciate the fact that you can't get sadder than people in the Bible about whose sadness you can read. You can't have trouble that somebody didn't have in the Bible. And of course, Jesus is the ultimate in terms of suffering and pain, tortured to death over a period of hours so that we might have life. He certainly knows what pain is, what suffering is, what rejection is, what hardship is. So when we experience those things, it's really wonderful that the Bible is not just saying, cheer up, it's fine, you'll feel better soon. The kind of advice we often give to one another. God knows how to weep with us when we weep. God knows how to put in his great book stories of people who've been through the kinds of things that in some instances are so bad you and I won't have to go through them, and in other cases are even worse than what we will have to go through, or are very parallel to what we may experience and what we may feel. The text says, starting in verse 23, the whole countryside wept aloud as all the people passed by. Now, you know, a lot of those people were weeping crocodile tears. They were perfectly happy to support Absalom, but they thought that just in case they might weep as the king leaves power and heads out of Jerusalem and heads off into exile. In other instances, it would be people who had come out to show David their support, but really were not the entire population. So don't misunderstand the way this is worded, that there were people all along the way weeping as he went out of the city of Jerusalem, but there were plenty of people in and around the city who were glad to see him go. The king crossed the Kidron Valley. That's that valley between Jerusalem, which is up on a promontory, and the Mount of Olives. There's a deep valley, the highway there now. They crossed that area and went up toward the Mount of Olives. And as they were getting away from the city, that's the route that he took. He's heading out to the east, and he will go across the Jordan and off to the land east of the Jordan River, which is where he hopes to be able to have some kind of success in getting away from being killed by his son Absalom. And so they're moving toward the wilderness, toward the desert. Zadok was there too. It says, now he's one of the priests. And he's a priest loyal to David, and as a priest, as a well-trained priest, he knew the scriptures said that David was to be king. There was to be a king, and the king would be from the lineage of Judah, and he understood that David was still owed that respect that should have been given to him no matter how bad he was. Now the scripture says, respect to whom respect is due. So if Zadok again. Aren't you a seer? Zadok was not just a priest, but also a prophet, as the word seer is a synonym for prophet. Go back to the city and in peace with your son, Ahimaaz, and Jonathan, son of Abiathar, wait at the forge, as I will wait at the forge in the desert to see what comes from you and what word you give to inform me. They're going to go back and just see what's happening and check and say, is there any hope for King David? Will he have a chance at all? Will something change? It's kind of hope against hope at this stage, but that's what they were planning to do. So Zadok and Abiathar took the ark back to where it belonged and stayed there. David continued up the Mount of Olives, weeping as he went. Here's a king with all kinds of reasons not to weep, not to be sorry, all kinds of reasons to be strong, to be confident, to be secure, but it's all been taken away, and he weeps as he goes. And you know, the scripture says to us, weep with those who weep. That's part of what we ought to do. We ought to be alert to the fact that comes and goes. Some people get more of it, some people get less of it, but there's plenty around. And we ought always to be people who are sympathetic to those who suffer, to those who are sorrowful, and so on. And we ought also to weep over our own sins. Part of David's weeping could have been for the loss and the suffering. We would do that too. But part of his weeping is, I think, as the text presents it, the fact that God, that should characterize us as well. And part of the reason we know that is he's got his head covered and he's barefoot. But these are two descriptors of what it means to be mourning, officially mourning. You cover your head in some way, and often they would cover it actually with dirt. And then you go barefoot. Doing everything related to the royalty that he otherwise deserved. He's not wearing royal robes and crown and anything like that. No, he's going like a prophet to say to God, I'm not proud. I'm not confident. I'm in trouble. I haven't done anything. It all depends upon you. The people had the same attitude. Everybody with him was doing the same. Everybody had their heads covered. They were weeping as they went. And then, a final little thing. David had been told, Ahithophel is among the